Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis, daf Chaf. Thanks for Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lens of Zecher Nishmas Lo Subin Zaltman. We are on Yud Tes Amud Beis, and we are going to pick it up from where we left off yesterday. The topic of discussion has been rain. I know. It's been our topic. So over the course of today, tomorrow, some of the more famous Agadot that comes up in the Gemara and Shas is coming up. Yesterday, we started Divrei Agadot, but really the Gemara will continue today. Today we'll be discussing Nachman Ben Gurion, name probably you've heard of before. We discussed him back in Gittin, or we'll discuss him upcoming in Gittin. I always forget which end is closer, probably the end coming up. And tomorrow Nachum Ishtamzu, which I know also has tremendous popularity. So these are the Agadot that we'll be discussing. We're a little bit behind. Yesterday we made our way to Yitzchak Amud Beis, and we are going to continue from the two dots. We're toward the top of the Amud, Yargul Tzmachem Valola Ilan. So the Mishnah, what's the topic of the third parak? So again, more discussion of rain, but other calamities as well. Meaning that in the first and second parakim of the Masechta, we talked about rain, but its lack of rain is going to be a cause for alarm, but we don't actually sound the alarm immediately. Meaning if the first date and the second date of rain are missed, so at that point in time, we don't start panicking. We start fasting, but we don't start panicking. And by panicking, I mean shrua, blowing the shofar, and having all the special procedures that we discussed in the second parak. But rather, when we discuss panic, we're talking about shrua, blowing on the shofar, and doing all the things that we discussed in the second parak, bringing the teva out into the street, davening out in the street, having extended Shmoneh Esrei of 24 brachos. So that is what we'll call, for lack of a better term, panic. That's when we start really panicking and crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. In the third parak, so what the Mishnah introduced us to is the idea that there are certain events that are immediately recognizable as catastrophic, and at that point in time, it's okay to panic. It's okay to, and when I say panic, by the way, I'm not talking psychologically, I mean it's at that point in time where we really plea and cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we wail. So, and we ask for his assistance and intervention. So the Mishnah gave us a list of things that are worthy of that. But what we're going to be doing over the course of the Gemara today is mentioning a couple of them. We're only going to be mentioning a couple of them because then the Gemara is going to segue into Divrei Agadata. So we're not going to discuss much of the Mishnah as much as we're going to be going off on into the world of Agadata. So we're on the top of Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Yardu L'tzmachem Avolo L'ilan. So the rain comes down for tzemach. It comes down for the plants, but not for the trees. Bishlam L'tzmachem Avolo L'ilan. So the Gemara says, look, I already could see rain that's good for plants, but not good for trees. Mishkach L'adas Anicha V'lo Asya Razia. A gentle rain. Gentle rain is good for plants, but the gentle rain is not going to be good for trees. Trees need a lot of water. So le'ilam v'lo l'tzmachin, and the Gemara says I can also see the other side of it, where I have rain coming down that's good for trees, but it's not good for plants. The asya razia v'lo asya nicha. Strong rain comes down, but not the gentle, pleasant rain, and that's good for the trees. It's not good for the plants. And so again, so consequently, that means now that we have water. There is precipitation, but it's not the kind that we need, and therefore panic. And also the Gemara says, I can also see a scenario where rain is good for the plants, rain is good for the trees, but it's not filling the reservoir. That would be where it's raining, gentle rain and strong rain, but just simply not enough. So that the Gemara says I can see when the reservoirs are not filled up, that's going to be also tragic. But then there's a Brisa, and the Brisa gives us the other scenario, the fourth possibility, where there's plenty of rain for the reservoir, but it's not enough rain for the plants nor for the trees. And the Gemara says, and what would that be? In other words, what's that scenario? So the Gemara says, the Asya Bishifichusa. So the Gemara says, no, we can also envision a scenario like that as well, where the rain is coming down pouring. Pouring mean concentrated in one area. Basically, the rain is going right into the reservoir, but the rain is not hitting the field, so it's not hitting the plants, so it's hitting the trees. And as a result of that, it would be cause for alarm. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, Masrin Ha'alilans Beprosa Pesach. We start crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masrin means Shua, meaning the shofar, over trees, Beprosa Pesach, as it approaches Pesach. Beprosa Pesach is a term that we used earlier as well, usually refers to 15 days before Pesach. Pros, the term actually means the division, means to split, like truso, and with the unit that we're splitting is a month. So it means that we're splitting the month into two. So 15 days before Pesach, and there isn't enough rain for the trees, so cause for alarm. Alabos v'shikna ma'aros v'tros echad. Now I take out the word v'afilu, the Bach does. So, and if there's not enough water in the reservoirs, so then v'tros echad. So 15 days before Chag, so once again it's cause to alarm. Now Chag over here, when it's not qualified, usually Chag is a reference to Sukkot. Sukkot is a little bit difficult to understand over here because if we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, which I assume we are, so it's not raining at all during the summer. So if 15 days before Sukkot, which is Rosh Hashanah, if 15 days before Sukkot it's not raining and the reservoirs are not filled up, so we're going to, right, the expectation is, though, it's a tragedy and it's a calamity and we need to blow shofar, we need to fast, and it's just a little bit difficult to understand because it's just simply not the season for it to rain. So essentially what the Gemara is suggesting is that we're supposed to ask for a miracle? Maybe. Unclear. Could be that Chag here is a reference to Shavuos, and then it makes it a little bit easier to understand, meaning that it's still not that smooth, because even Shavuos, it's not raining, meaning it's not supposed to rain after Pesach. It doesn't normally rain after Pesach, so, okay, totally not clear what it means when it says 15 days before Chag. Now, if there's no water to drink, again, that's obviously a serious problem, and therefore it would result in it would necessitate a response of shofar and fasting. The ezu miyad shalahem. Now, when we say it needs our immediate attention, so what does that mean? Immediate attention. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Monday, Thursday, Monday. Meaning that even if we realize, let's say on a Friday, that no one's got water to drink. Okay, but that doesn't mean we start fasting directly on Friday, because again, we have to go into the format, and the format is we start fasting on a Monday. Monday's a Yom Adin, Monday's a Yemei Ratzon, so therefore we start fasting on a Monday, so therefore the sequence is Monday, Thursday, Monday. The Al Kulan, the Bach takes out the word the Al, Kulan Eim Asun Alen Ela Be'afarchia Shalahem. Now everything is divided by region, by country. So in other words, so we focus on the country that we're in. So if we're in a particular country and there's no water to drink in that country, so the fasting is reserved for that country. The Asra Bizman Shish Bamisa Matrin Alem Bizman Shein Ba, I'm sorry, Bizman. Askara is a term that we see all the time in the Gemara. It's an ailment. It is a constriction of the breathing. Not exactly sure what it is, but some sort of constriction of the breathing, some sort of asphyxiation. And so if there's death involved, meaning it's not just that there's asthma is becoming popular, but people are dying as a result of that, Matrin Alayim. So therefore, again, shofar, and it demands a response. Shein ba misa in Matrin Alayim. However, if there are people who are having hard times breathing, asthmatics, if you will, but no death as a result of that, so that's not good. Certainly ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, petition Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it does not cause for the shur, for the shofar, and for the fasting. O Matrin Alayim gubai, b'chol shehu. Now, if there are locusts and you see a plague of locusts, even if it's just a little bit of locusts, there's no such thing as a little bit of locusts. That's a bad thing, and it demands our immediate response. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Afal HaChagav. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, the same can be true, but it can be said about Chagav. Now, I'll translate Chagav as locusts because I don't know. Meaning, I know that there are different types of locusts and grasshoppers. I refer you back to Sefer Yoel, right? Short Sefer and Treyasar. And in there, you'll find all the different types of grasshoppers that are in existence. Right, correct, and we're obviously most familiar with the Arba, simply because that's the maka that's levied on Egypt. Okay, but the two that I mentioned over here is Guvai and Chagav. Tanu Rabbanan Matzina is Alilans B'Shar Shnei Shavua. During the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, so if there are no rain for the trees, cause for alarm. meaning because the trees are providing us fruit, and so therefore during the 6 years, pause for lunch. How about during the 7th year, if there's no rain? It's not good, but no panicking. Why not? Very simply. Because generally speaking, the way it works is that obviously we don't work the land during the Shemitah year. We're not looking towards the trees of the Shemitah year to provide the nourishment for the people. Everyone during the 6th year in anticipation of the Shemitah year grew and expected a bumper crop, and the Torah promises us that we're going to receive a bumper crop on the 6th year. So therefore, if it doesn't rain during the 7th year, not good, but no shofar, no fasting. Now, if it's a question of the reservoir and the drinking water for people and the bathing water for people, and there's no water, so even during the Shemitah year, that's obviously bad, trua, and fasting. Shimon ben Gamliel says that even if it was during the Shemitah year and there's no rain for the trees, trua, we blow shofar and we fast. Why? Because even though, you're right, the vast majority of people are going to sustain themselves with the fruit that was grown during the 6th year, but the aniyim, the poor people, during the Shemitah year, their expectation was to go out to the field and find fruit out in the field. And in the Shemitah year, if it's no rain and there's no fruit coming and there's no fruit that's going to grow, that's bad for the aniyim. True, well, we're going to blow shofar, according to Rosh Hashanah. Tan Yidach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Masrin al ha'ilanos b'shar shnei shavua. Rain, lack of rain for trees, so we blow shofar during the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. And then if it's the reservoirs that are not getting filled, so then we'll blow shofar even during Shemitah. And then Rishon Gamliel says, even for the trees. The brisa over here is really echoing the previous brisa. A sfichim, all the natural growth, the organic growth that happens during the Shemitah year, so that will blow shofar for if the rain is not coming down and if this fruit is not growing. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Amar Rav Elazar ben Parta miyam shechar beis hamikdash nasuk shemen simukin. When the beis hamikdash is destroyed post Chorban, so rain comes down simukin. The word simukin, dried up. Meaning that it is no longer constant. Some years it rains really well, and some years it does not rain. Sometimes it rains in season, sometimes it does not rain in season. Meaning after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, so therefore we no longer have a consistency. Now, the Gemara tells us, what's the advantage of the rain coming in its correct time, meaning during season? So, it is similar to getting paid on Sunday, right? Where the servant is getting, his Rebbe gives him his payment on Sunday, the beginning of the week. So when you have money on Sunday, so that's really good for the rest of the week, because now for the rest of the week, you'll have food, you'll purchase your flour, you can bake, you won't be in a rush, everything will work out much better. But if it doesn't rain in the proper time, so let's compare that to, it's like getting paid on a Friday. Getting paid on a Friday, aside from all the stress of not having the money during the week, but in this case, you say, but now you're basically acquiring the bread and baking the bread all on Friday, everything's done in a rush, the bread won't come out to be the same. So it's baked improperly, it's eaten improperly, meaning basically you are eating bread that was quickly baked and it's just not going to be as good. Rain that comes down plenty. So the Gemara gives another marshal, another comparison. It's like getting paid one lump sum. So, and now, When you get all your produce at one time, so you can put it all in the millstone at the same time. And the advantages to that is, Masha tochnas menakav, Nim says, Isa ochelas menakor kama ochelas menakav. Now the Gemara over here explains a phenomena that whenever you grind up your flour, so there's always going to be a little bit of flour that just simply won't get processed. Okay? And that is a constant... It's not It doesn't go by rate, it doesn't go by ratio, but it just simply depends on how many times you're sending it through the millstone. But the amount of residue is always going to be the same. So that means that if I put a core is a tremendous amount of grain into the millstone in order to grind, so there'll be a little bit that you won't be able to use. But if I get paid all at once, I could put one, it goes through the grinder once, and there'll be a little bit of residue. As opposed to Shana Shigishmeh Mu'atim Lamahu Domeh, a year where it rains but not a lot, so then Domeh Levish, and that's when we're up, but not so soon at Ma'at. So now it's like getting our food a little bit at a time. The problem with that is Nimsu Rechaim, Masha Tochnas Menakor, Tochnas Menakav, Nimsu Sisa Kamasha Nechalas Menakor, Ochalas Menakav. And now what happens is that with every incremental produce that I get, I'm sending it into the millstone, and again now, I'm going to have to grind more often, creating more waste. Davar Acher, the Gemara gives another mashal, b'zman shegishmeh merubim l'mahu domeh, l'adam shemegav asatid. Im yesh l'mayim rabim, mayim ein hakalim. If you're going to make a clay, a mortar, so the more water you have, the better it is. And the atid megubal yafem, and the mortar is going to blend very, very well. But if you only have a little bit of rain, so then the mortar is not going to mix well if you don't have a lot of water. That's the mashal, and the nimshal is that when you have a lot of water coming down, the soil is going to be rich and it's going to have a lot of nutrient content, and it'll be good for the seeds. A little bit of rain, the earth will not be as good for these seeds. So obviously, the gishmei bracha that we're looking for is a lot of rain and at the appropriate time. And the Gemara's point is that when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, so there's no longer consistency, so sometimes we get it, and sometimes we don't get it. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we are now going to embark on a very lengthy Braisa. The Braisa starts here, on the bottom of Yutat Amud Beis, and it's going to go all the way into the middle of Chaf Amud Aleph, and it's going to relate to us one of the more famous stories that occur in the Masechta. I said that yesterday, but it's true. In other words, where you have the story over here of Nakdima Ben Gurion. It's referred to a number of times in Shas. Nakdima Ben Gurion, you'll remember, we saw him in Gittin, in the Nun Hei Nun Vav area, where the Gemara talked about the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So historically, we can place him at the end of Baisheni, at the end of the Second Temple. And the Gemara now speaks about a story regarding Nakdima Ben Gurion. We'll learn at the end of the story that that's not actually his name. He received this name based on a miracle that happened as a result of him. So there was an incident where the Jewish people are performing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. They're going up to Yerushalayim. And oh, by the way, if I could just interrupt myself, the reason why the Gemara is telling the story now is based on the fact of what we just learned, that the water for the reservoirs is of an urgency, and if there's no water in the reservoir, so that's obviously a calamity. So on the heels of that point that the Gemara made a little bit earlier, so the Gemara now is telling us the story of Nakdim and Ben Gurion. I'm going to start again. So all the Jewish people went up for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. But lo, ayelam ayim lishtos, and there was no water to drink. Okay, so the rain did not come down, and so therefore there was no water in the reservoirs. And now you're talking about a good percentage of the Jewish people in Yerushalayim with no water to drink. Halach Nakdim and Ben Gurion, they saw Adon Echad. So Nakdim Ben Gurion goes to an Adon. Now Nakdim Ben Gurion himself was very wealthy, Rashi tells us. So he had the money, and so what did he do? He went to another person who was also wealthy, but not a benefactor. And this other person had water, had reserves of water. Where did he get it from? I can only guess. Maybe he imported it. I simply don't know. But either way, Amalo Havein Shem Esrei Mayanos. Mayim La'ole Regalim. So basically, Nakdim Ben Gurion says, here's what I want to do. I want to borrow. You have 12 reservoirs of water. Now, the word over here used in the Gemara is Mayanos. Mayanos is usually a reference to a wellspring. So over here, Rashi says, don't take the words too literally, meaning it's a wellspring. Now, wells, or springs, I should say, usually regenerate. So it doesn't not necessarily over here mean a spring. It's a, but whatever, the collected bodies of water. So this particular Adon, the Gemara doesn't identify who he is, so he had reservoirs of water, and Nakdim Ben Gurion says, I'm going to borrow 12, meaning not the the water content, obviously. He's interested in the water. and I'll pay you back with 12 wellsprings of water. Meaning that I'm going to borrow the water, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to assure you that it's going to rain, and you'll get it all back. Now, what if it doesn't rain? So, so in lieu of the water that doesn't get replenished, I will give you 12 kikar kesef. 12 kikar kesef. I don't know how to translate that into money. It's a lot. In other words, basically as a guarantee, as insurance against the water, if the water doesn't replenish, I will repay you handsomely for that water. From the context of the story, it certainly sounds like the money that he was prepared to pay is going to be much more than what the water was actually worth. Kavalos man. Now, obviously, they made a deadline so that the person he's buying the water from will be assured that if the wells don't get filled up again, so then he can cash in on the policy, and he'll collect the money from Nachum and Ben-Gurion. So now the date has come where Nachman bought the water, the Jewish people used the water, whatever the date was at a later point in time. Now this person goes to Nachman Ben Gurion and says, okay, you promised me that my wellsprings are going to get filled up. They're not filled up. Today's the day. You pay me. So Shagali, oh my mamos, sheish li biadecha. So here's your choices, either water or money. Shachar Dainesh Lizman Sanagino says, yeah, but the day's not over yet, meaning there's hope. So why don't we wait a little bit? It's still morning. Dainesh Lizman, call Yam Kulo, Shalihu, meaning I have till the end of today. B'tzaharim Shachar, the afternoon comes along, and the person goes back to Nachman Ben Gurion. And he says, okay, no, Shagar Li, oh, Mayim. Look, here's your choices. You can either give me water, which obviously is not possible right now, or you'll give me the money. So he says, okay, but it's only the afternoon. I have till the end of today. Now comes mincha. Now it's interesting because sarayim and mincha are usually interchangeable. It certainly sounds like from the Gemara that mincha refers to a later point in time, later point in the afternoon. And again, the conversation, same conversation. Right, it's certainly the sense that we get from the story is that the person who is now expecting the money to get paid back, he knows that he has till the end of the day. He knows that Nachman has him till the end of the day. And what is he doing? He's bothering him, obviously. So, or it seems obvious. So, shalchlo adan yesh li shalos v'yom. So he says, what do you mean? Nachman says, come on, I have till the end of the day. Okay. Legal galavoso adon. Person started making fun of Nachman. Amar kol hashana kula lo yarduk shamim. The after of yarduk shamim. We turn to the top of the chaf amad aleph. So he said, the adon says to Nachman, look, it hasn't rained the whole season. And it hasn't rained today. And look up in the heavens. And it's a clear day. It's not going to rain. We all know how this is going to end. You're going to have to pay me. He goes to the bathhouse in joy. This is talking about the Adon. And he goes to the bathhouse in joy. And again, this is more provocation. He's making fun of Nachman, meaning I'll go take a bath, meaning water. Right? I'll enjoy myself right now as you have to stress now for the remaining hours of the day, worrying about the fact that water is not coming down and you're going to have to end up paying me. So as the Adon goes into the bathhouse, Nachman nechnas the Beis HaMikdash. Nachman enters into the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Remember, they were in Yerushalayim. Oh, this is a later point in time. Unclear exactly when this was, but Nachman goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Kishuhu atzav nisateh v'amad d'tfila. He wraps himself up in a talis. He davens. Amar l'fana rebuno sh'olam galuv yidu l'fanecha sh'lo l'chvodi asisi. I didn't do this for my honor, v'lo l'chvod ha-beis ha-ba asisi. I didn't do this for my family name. I did this for your honor. I did this so that the Jewish people would have water. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to the tefillah of Nachman Ben Gurion, and the clouds gathered, and rain comes down. Water comes down, fills up the reservoirs, actually goes above the line. Meaning apparently there was some understood line, right? That I always hear in the news. The reservoir is at 85%. Okay, so in other words, here the water was able to replenish the wells even higher than where they normally are. Yes, for 12 shvatim. Yeah, clearly there's meaning behind the details. Now the Adam comes out of the bathhouse. Okay. Nagdima ben Gurion yatsa mibeis hamikdash, and Nagdima ben Gurion comes out of the Beis Hamikdash. Now they meet one another. Now Amalotain li demei mayim yosef sheis li biadecha. And Nachdimum says to the Adon, look, you kept arguing with me the whole day that I owe you, you owe me. Because now, not only did I pay you back the water, but there's actually more water. So you need to give me the excess. Now, is that actually true? Meaning, does this Adon need to give back more? That's not totally clear, but certainly the point is Nachdimum is saying to him, look, the whole day the shoe's been on your foot. Now I get to enjoy the upper hand of a little bit right now. Amar lo, so the Adon says to Nachdimum, look, yodani shalom here ish HaKadosh Baruch Hu zolamo el b'shalachem. So the Adon says to Nachdimum, look, I realize it rained, and I realize it rained because of you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused this to happen because of you. I get it. However, but the Adon says to Nachdimum, but look, I still have the upper hand. I still have the contractual benefit. It rained after the sunset, and it rained in my wells, not in your wells. So the Adon says to Nachdimum, I won. So Nachdimum's move. He goes back to the Beis Hamikdash, again in Talis, again in Tzilav. Amar l'fan of Ribbono shel Olam, Hodesh Yishtacha Ahuvim ba'olamecha. Could you please notify people of this world that you have Ahuvim? You have people that you particularly love. And so could you do me one more favor? Mi'an espazu ra'av mezercha chama. And so now Nachdimum goes outside, the clouds clear, and there's the sun. Now the sun should not have been there, and the sun was there. Had the sun not nikdara means to pierce through the cloud. Had the sun not pierced through the cloud, obviously I would have won contractually. But I would have taken your money. But now, because the sun was nikdar, it peeked through the clouds, so now you won, and the loan was paid up. Through via water. Tana lo Nachdimum shmar lo bunishma. And now the Gemara quotes a brisa which gives us a postscript. And the postscript to the story was that his name was Nachdimum. His name was actually Boni. The reason why he was called Nachdimum is because of this incident, and because specifically Nikdara. Now, if you look at the Bach over here, the Bach changes the lashon of the Gemara slightly. Nikdama chama ba'avura. Now we can explain both of the lashonos. Nikdara, like the Gemara just described, how the sun pierced through the cloud, or nikdama, the sun came back again. Kodem, it went back a little bit earlier, meaning the laws of nature changed on behalf of Nachdimon, and hence he got the name Nachdimon from the word nikdama chama ba'avura. Okay, but the simple pshat in the Gemara, though it doesn't work out simply with the laws of nature, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually changed the laws of the planets and the orbits, and the sun backtracked a little bit so that Nachdimum would not have to pay the exorbitant price for that water. Tana. The Gemara quotes another, I'm sorry, Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes another brisa. Shosha nikdam alahem chama ba'avuran. So for three people historically in the world, so the sun went backwards. And they are Moshe, the Yoshua, the Nachdimum Ben Gurion. So for these three personalities in our history, so the sun actually went backwards, and the sun, the moon, the orbits, everything shifted on behalf of these three. And where do we see this? So Bishlam and Nachdimum Ben Gurion Gemara. So the Gemara says, as far as Nachman Ben Gurion is concerned, that's Gemara, it's tradition. Meaning, it's what we just learned. Okay. And this is, as I pointed out earlier, this is at the end of Bayis Sheni. Generally speaking, we do assume that no nisim, no miracles occur, no open miracles occur at this point historically. There's no longer any nevuah at this point historically. But again, for Nachman, it occurred. And we know that via tradition. Yehoshua nami kra dechtiv. Now, as far as Yehoshua is concerned, so that's in the Pesukim. So dechtiv, vayidam Hashemesh vayarachamad. The Navi says in Yehoshua, Sefer Yehoshua Paragud, that the sun stood in its place, as did the moon. Meaning that Yehoshua needed more time in the day in order to wage the war. He was being victorious, but victory would be assured if there was just more time in the day. Right? How many times do we think to ourselves, I could just use a little more time? So for Yehoshua, not only could he use a little more time, it was granted, and the planet stood in its track. Ela Moshe Minalan, good. So we have by Nachman, we have a tradition. We have by Yehoshua, a pasuk. What about regarding Moshe? Where do we see in Moshe that this occurred? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Atya Achel Achel. So the Gemara says it doesn't say so explicitly by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, but we have Gzer Shava. Sivacha Achel Kespachtecha Uksivhasam Achel Gad Lecha. So we have either Gzer Shava using the word Achel, Rabbi Shmuel Ben Nachman Amar Asya Teis Teis, a second possible Gzer Shava, Ksivhacha Achel Teis Pachtecha Uksivhasam Yom Teis Hashem Es Amori. Or finally, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asya Megufa Dekra. Or what you could do is you could read Chumash carefully, beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Parsha Dvarim, Asher Yishmon Shamacha V'Rigzu V'Chelo Nipanecha. The nations will hear, they will shudder, they will become afraid. What exactly makes them shudder and become afraid? It's when the sun stopped for Moshe. Now, although we have a Gzeir Shava, two possible Gzeir Shavas, or a Diuk in the Psukim, what the Gemara does not tell us is when exactly for Moshe did this occur. Which battle did it occur for Moshe? It happens to be in Sedra, in the Parsha. So last week we saw a couple of battles that Moshe fought. This week we're going to see more battles that Moshe fought, but it's not clear in the Gemara when it's actually referring to. I will ask a question that I don't have an answer for, but it's a good question, and it's certainly thought-provoking. If you look in the Navi in Yehoshua, so I am looking at the Pesukim that describe the sun and the moon stopping for Yehoshua. I'm in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yud. The Pasuk says, Az yidaber Yehoshua la'ashem b'yom teis Hashem et ha'amor lefnei b'nei Yisrael v'yom el'nei Yisrael shemesh b'givon dom v'yarech b'emek ayalon. Okay, so the Navi describes how Yehoshua asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the sun to stop, the moon to stop, basically all the planets to stop in its track. Vayidom Hashemesh, v'yarech amad, and the sun was quiet, and the moon stood still. Ad yikam goyavav, until all the enemies were decimated. Halo iktuva al sefer hayashar, v'yamod Hashemesh bechatsi hashamayim, it stood up in the halfway through the heavens. V'lo aslavo ki yom tamim. And it wasn't like a complete day. V'lo haya kayom ahu lifanav v'acharav. And there was never a day like this, neither before nor after. L'shmo Hashem v'kol ish ki Hashem nilcham liYisrael. So it's interesting. I'm raising the question. I don't have a good answer. The Navi says, and this historically never happened. Never happened before, and never happened after. And now, based on our Gemara that we just learned together, so now we can ask a very simple question. What do you mean it never happened before, never happened after? Our Gemara just made the point, in fact, in both directions. Our Gemara says that it happened before with Moshe, and it happened afterwards with Nachman. So, how to understand the Pasuk and Navi? I'm sure there's an approach. I happen not to have one, right? But it's certainly a thought-provoking question. Back to the Gemara. V'chein ir shelo yardu olai v'shamim. If we have a city where no rain falls down, right? If you remember the Mishnah, the Gemara here is going back to the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. So if you remember the Mishnah says things that are immediately catastrophic would be when rain falls on one city but not on another. So the simple pshat, and then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Amos. The echsiv, right? I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, I'm looking back at the beginning of the perek. Nimtarki al irachas, the al irachas lo amtir. I'll provide rain for one city but not for another city. The simple pshat in the Pasuk in Amos, as is the Mishnah, is that that's catastrophic for the city that doesn't receive rain. The Gemara is now going to tell us, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ushteyim L'Klala. No, this is a klala for both cities. Both the city that got rain and the city that did not get rain. How is it a klala for both? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains. Shteim l'klala, Dib Rashi is towards the top. Dib Ramaskal, Shteim l'klala. Rashi writes, Akrakai. Rashi says that the Gemara here is explaining the Pasuk in Amos. Hi, Dib Sivali Erechas, Amtir Bali Erechas, Amtir, Shteim l'klala. Oso Shiamtir Allah, Rav Gishamim, Shemekafil Nesatvua. Because what's happening, says Rashi, is that really the rain should have been distributed between the two cities. But what happened was, as a klala, is that all that rain gets concentrated to one city. So now one city got no rain, and the other city got too much rain. Okay, so Rashi says that's the explanation of the Pasuk in Amos. It's not just that this is a klala for the city that did not get rain, it's a klala for the city that did get rain as well. Haisa Yushan Lanida. And now the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent. Now the reason why the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent is because basically we're going to do this a number of times. I think four times all told. Where basically we're going to look at what seems to be a bracha, what seems to be a klala, and the Gemara is going to explain it's not exactly as we thought. Just like the Pasuk in Amos, not exactly as we thought. So the Gemara goes on, Haisa Yushlaim L'Nida. This is the beginning of Eicha. Yushlaim will be like a Nida. Nida is a woman who's going through a menstrual cycle. She is separated from her husband. So Yushlaim will be separated from us. Okay? L'Nida Minayim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav L'Bracha. So, even though it's Sefer Eicha, obviously, the Megillah Eicha, it's sad, it's depressing, but the correct way to read that Pasuk is that it's a klala, but really it's a bracha. And how so? Kenida. Manida yesh lahatzav, Yushlaim yesh lahatzakana. Because when one's wife is a nida, okay, so she is separated from her husband, that's temporary. She'll come back to her husband at the end of nida. So to Yushlaim, we're separated from Yushlaim, but we're going to come back. Haisa kamana, as long as we're in the psukim of Eicha, we're going to keep reading and we're going to keep explaining. She is like a widow. I'm Rav Yehuda LeBracha. And Rav Yehuda says, understand that as a bracha, not as a klala. Kamana v'lo amana mamash. The key over here is ki amana, like a widow. Meaning, don't understand it literally that Yerushalayim will be like a widow, meaning who has lost her husband forever, but rather like a woman whose husband went off on a journey, but he's going to come back. Again, that's the way to understand the Pasuk in Eicha. I'm going to make you low and degraded. Okay, that's the pasuk in Malachi, other way around, degraded and low. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Levracha. And again, Rabbi Yehuda says, look at the silver lining. Meaning, obviously, the pasuk is meant as we're going to be downtrodden, but there's good in it. How so? The lo mukmi minan lo reishi naharei v'lo gizifti. Because what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us is that we're never going to have any type of political position, and that's a good thing. Lo reishi naharei, Rashi explains, we're not going to be the head of the river, meaning we're not going to become tax collectors. Okay. Lo gezifte, so Rashi says, basically politicians. Take a look at Rashi, sargyoton meirov bizyon. Because you have somebody who has a political position, and usually they're degraded. So, on one hand, the Navi does say that we're not going to have on positions of importance, but that's a good thing. We won't become the tax collector. We won't become these political figures who are always maligned. So the correct way to understand the pasuk is a bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will smite the Jewish people just like a reed in water. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Livracha. And again, Rav Yehuda says, I know it sounds like a klala, but it's really a bracha. The pasuk says, "Ne'emanim pitzei ohev v'na'asaros mishikos sonei." Rashi, Tosfos both explain the pasuk to mean that it's better to be hit by your friend than be kissed by your enemy. It's more trustworthy to be hit by your friend than to be kissed by your enemy. Tova klala shekila achi ashiloni et yisrael. When achi ashiloni cursed the Jewish people, so that was better than Yosem ibracha shebircham Bilam harasha. Better than the bracha that was given by Bilam. So, Sedra, Parshas HaShavua. Right, so we are walking into Shabbos now prepared, at least with one Dvar Torah. You can quote today's daf. The daf says today that the curses of a Navi is better than the bracha of a Rasha. Achi Ashiloni kilon v'kana. Because when Achi Ashiloni cursed us, so compared us to a reed in water. Amo Mitzvah v'ikasha Mitzvah kasha yanur kana matan ez elmet b'makom mayim v'gizo machlef. Look. Because the reed, even though we're going to get hit like a reed, but look, the reed is in water. It gives a machlis, it regenerates. Sharash of merumam, it's got fantastic roots. Wind blows, the reed goes with the wind. The reed has flexibility. It will get blown down, but not over. Will move with the wind. And then, damamu haruchos, when the wind stops, amarakana bim kamo. The reed goes right back to its place. So in other words, much like a reed, so we'll get knocked down, but we'll come right back up. Ava bilam harasha bircham beres. And bilam harasha, so he cursed us, compared us, I'm sorry, he blessed us, quote unquote, right, that slip was a proper slip. Not like my mistakes, which are not intended. That was not intended, and it was good. And when Bilam blessed us, he compared us to a cedar. Shenemar ka'arazim, he compared us to a cedar. Now, those next two words that are in parentheses, I will come back to those next two words as we go through Rashi. But first, let me read the Gemara. Ma'arazain omid bin mako mayim, the engizo machlif, the engsharashav merubin. I feel we call it the arez, the cedar, it does not grow where there's water. It doesn't regenerate. Its roots are not strong. It is totally inflexible. So that's good if it's a regular wind. But if it's a southern wind, a strong southern wind, okraso v'hof chaso panav, takes the cedar and turns it right on its end. And on top of that, going back to Achi Ashiloni, who compared us to a reed, we take a reed, and what do? With it? We write Sifrei Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim with the reed. So the comparison to the reed, even though it comes in it's couched in klala, it's really a bracha. And Bilam, who compared us to Erez, it's a bracha, but really it's a klala. Now, by the way, those two words that are in parentheses, Karezim Alei Mayim. Took a look at Rashi, very interesting Rashi. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi, Divra Maskel, Erezei Eino Omed B'makom Mayim. V'af Agav Dichsi B'kra Karezim Alei Mayim. Now, the Pasuk, you're going to see this week's Parsha, the Pasuk says, Karezim Alei Mayim, like cedars on water. Now, wasn't the point of the Gemara is that cedars don't grow in water? Hahu lad Bilam Kamale, the Bilam Amar Karezim. Really, Bilam says you're going to be like cedars. Meaning that was Bilam, and his real intent was that the wind is going to blow you down and knock you over and so forth and so on. The Hamala Cheshivu Alei Mayim. And then what happens is that as Bilam is quote-unquote blessing us, basically there's a Malach there who keeps interjecting into the Bracha. So basically, Karazim, and the Malach says, Alei Mayim. Like, yeah, like I'm water. Meaning, good water source. Flexible. In other words, basically amending all the brachas so that they're actually brachas. V'chein kulu debalam amar, kenach alim, right? Rashi gives another example. It says kenach alim, like springs, dezim the misyavshin, nachal dries up, v'tamalei amach, natayu, de'en yavashim. And he says no. And then the mouth comes along and says like a flowing spring, which doesn't dry up. And now we understand when the Pasuk says, and what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu did? He took all the klalos of Bilam and he turned it into a bracha. So So now we understand, right, when you read the Pesukim this week in Shabbos. So now you understand is that basically it's Bilam Malach. Bilam Malach. And the Bilam said something which really was a curse, and then the Malach addended it so that it would be Lebracha.
But there is also a Lebracha. So I think somebody
can see a Dalvan. Okay, I was Dalvan. Okay, good. Very good. Okay, right. I'm you're right. I'm just, the Gemara over here doesn't view it that way. I'll read your point. Tanur Rabbanan, we're now back in the Gemara with three lines from the bottom of the Amud La'olam. Yeh Adam Rach Kikaneh. And the Gemara says, good lesson for life. Be flexible, says the Gemara. Vaye Kasha Ka'erez, and don't be inflexible like a cedar. Ma'isa Shabbat Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and then the Gemara tells the story. So already today, the highlight of the day was Nachtima Ben Gurion. Maybe we can put this up there as another major highlight of today. Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, mi Migdal Gedor, mi Beis Rabo, via Rochav al Chamor, and he is Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, so could be, I don't know. So mi Migdal Gedor, mi Beis Rabo, via Rochav al Chamor, and he was riding on a donkey. He was going along the bank of a river. Now, he happened to have been particularly happy. And he was a little bit arrogant. Because he learned a tremendous amount of Torah, and he felt like magiali, meaning I'm in a good position in life. I just learned a lot of Torah, and so he felt good about himself. Top of Chaf Amud Beis. And he encountered a man who was extremely ugly. Take a look at both Rashi and Tosfos at the top of the Amud Beis, and they both say, right, sourcing, right, Rashi says you'll find it in Sfarim, Tosfos says you'll find it in Maseches Derech Eretz. Okay. The mystery man over here was Eliyahu. Right, it says, I'll just read Rashi, Yeshvam Shekasa Bahem Eliyahu Zecholatov. And the purpose of Eliyahu coming at this point in time, guised as a human being, is to teach him a lesson. So the man, the Adam, goes over to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and says, Shalom Alecha Rabbi. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon doesn't return the welcome. Amalo Reka Kama Mechuro Soaish. In fact, not only does he not return the Shalom Aleichem, but he then even comments, you empty person, you are an ugly human being. Shemekob and Eircham the Choran Kamoska. And as if that wasn't enough, he said, you know, it could very well be that the city that you come from, everyone's as ugly as you. Amar lo, in yodea eila lechva amar lo uman shasani kama mechor klizeh. She'asisa. Eliyahu comes back with a fantastic response. Eliyahu says, why don't you go tell my maker how ugly it is, a creature that he created. Now at that point in time, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon immediately realized that what he said was grossly inappropriate, and this Adam was right. Every person is made by Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Appearances are superficial, and he realized He was totally off on this. He gets off the donkey. He bows down in front of the person. And he begs for forgiveness. He says, I'll tell you what. I'll forgive you, but here's what you have to do, and it's not so bad. You go stand before your Creator, our Creator, and you tell him what you said about me. Basically, I'm editorializing just a little bit. Go die. So, Hayam Nitayo Acharav Achi Higia Li'iro. And then he continues walking with him until he gets to the city. Yatsam Ne'ir Le'kraso. The members of the city go and greet him. Meaning him, meaning not the Adam, not Eliyahu, but Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Vayom Rim Lo Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Now, this is Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. And they said, greeting Rebbe, Rebbe Mori. And so Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Rebbe Mori, Amalem, Lamiatim Korim, Rebbe. Wait, what's going on? Right, this person, the Adam who was tagging along, says, who are you calling Rebbe? Amalem Lo, Lazir Shemitai Acharecha. Look behind you. Amalem in ze Rebbe al yirbu kamoso b'yisrael. If that's a Rebbe, I hope that there's never going to be a replication of that again. Amr lo mimnei ma'amalem kach v'kach. I'm sorry, amr lahem kach v'kach asali. So he said to them, this is what he did to me. Now, I understand, Lashon Hara, but again, in the context of Rashi and Tosfos, that this is Eliyahu HaNavi, and all this was done for the specific purpose. Right, right. And he did this all to teach him a lesson. And they, the community, asked Eliyahu HaNavi, please forgive him, he's an Adam Gadol B'Torah. So he says, okay, I will forgive him on your behalf. But I hope he learns his lesson. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, lesson learned, a person should be flexible. Well, humble also, but flexible. Flexible, in this context, meaning, don't react with that first reaction that you thought to react. Think about it a little bit, roll with it a little bit. Vaye kashikar is lafichach zacher kanali toh imenu komus lechsova sefer torah tzonim mezuzos. And the Gemara says, and one of the lessons learned from the story is that the kana, the flexible reed, is what we use to write sefer torah tzonim mezuzos. Interesting. Previously, the Gemara says Torah Nevi Muksuvim, and here the Gemara says Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. I don't have anything smart to say about that change, about the shift, but certainly that's interesting. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. More Agadah to come. Tomorrow, Nachamish Gamzu. Okay, Gamzu Atova.